Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure as always. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Rick Lepsinger is back, ladies and gentlemen. Rick is the president of On Point Consulting, and he and his organization work with companies like yours and mine, large and small, maybe even tiny, and help them put their best foot forward in the marketplace, help them make sure that their engines are hitting on all cylinders. And he's also the co-author, along with Gary Uecker, of the book Flexible Leadership. And it's a very important book that I've told you about before. And he's our good friend, Rick Lepsinger. Welcome back to the show.
Jim, thanks very much. It's great to be back.
It's good to have you back. Rick, these are the times that try small businesses' souls, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, it definitely is. But it's interesting, I think, that sometimes small businesses have a lot more flexibility in being able to deal with these kinds of tough times. You know, it's easier to sort of turn the boat around and be responsive to opportunities. So in some cases, it's an advantage to be a bit smaller.
When everything else is, when you shuck it all down, the single thing that is the most unique about a small business that makes us have the ability, a little bit of an extra ability, almost an intangible ability to survive and to compete. It's what you just said. It's the flexibility thing, the ability to be quick and nimble.
Yeah, but you know, the key though around some of that is, yeah, it is not to sort of panic and sort of freeze in the headlights. And that's one of the things that you start to see in these kinds of times is that people pull back and retrench rather than really look for ways in which to take advantage of whatever opportunities are there or to control. And sometimes, you know, when you panic, you know, you're not, all the research around that is you just don't make good decisions or think straight. And
that's when they become cavemen, and we've talked about that on the show now for some time. You can't become a caveman. The thing that, and I use that word term generically, ladies and gentlemen, it's just a figure of speech. Because I don't think ladies like to think about themselves as being cave women. So it just doesn't have the same ring, Rick. But anyway, Rick, one of the things that I'd like you to help us reconcile today I've been talking to my audience for some time now about being real about 09. 09 is a tough year. 09 is the year we begin to pay for what happened in 08, and it's going to be expensive. And so I've been saying that in order to make sure that we had everyone's attention, I've been saying that there's no shame in planning to survive in 09. In other words, not focusing on trying to grow 20% or take some big leap of faith or whatever, but basically just saying, okay, if I survive 09, I had a pretty good year. Now, how do we balance that? I'd like your thoughts on that too, but how do we balance that attitude with also not missing an opportunity? What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think you're right. I mean, for a lot of organizations, the focus really is on survival. But I think the key here is survival today with an eye to the future. So in decisions and choices that you're making about what you will do or what you won't do or where you'll cut or where you'll invest, it's not so much just to get through today, but to sort of lay a platform or a foundation for growth in the future. And then, you know, just as an example of that, you know, what some organizations learned in the previous downturn is they did sort of indiscriminate downsizing, and they just let go of people. And it was in response to the need to cut costs. But what they found is that when things started to hit an upturn, they didn't have the talent that they needed to be able to take advantage of the upswing. So now organizations are trying to be a little smarter about how they contain costs, and they're doing things like, you know, four-day work weeks. Some employees are being moving with the idea of taking a reduction in pay so they don't have to lay off some of their colleagues.
Right, right.
You know, organizations are doing things like that, trying to take action to survive in the short term, but not to put themselves in a position where they can't be competitive in the future.
Well, I know a guy who his organization did that. They're 10 employees. They need to cut their payroll, and the boss came in and said, "Okay, here's an idea. I'm number one. Let me tell you that I haven't taken a paycheck this month. I won't be taking one for a while. So you know that I've got some skin in this game. Number two, if everybody takes a 10% pay cut, we get to keep everybody.
Right.
And that's but I think the leaders have to show that they've got some skin in the game. You can't ask your people to take that kind of pain on and then take a vacation to Bermuda.
Yeah, and you see that in large and small companies. You know that.
Right.
John Thane with Merrill Lynch when
right.
he wanted his $10 million bonus.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's being
probably cost him his job too, by the way.
Yeah, at this point, yeah. I was just in the paper today.
Yeah. But let's talk about accountability, because if we're going to pull all this off, the survival result, but also make sure that we're keeping a focus on where the opportunities may lie, keeping that other eye on that horizon, as you say. One of the things we've got to do, the people that we have left, we got to make sure that people are accountable for what they're supposed to be doing, don't we?
Yeah.
And you've written quite a lot about that recently.
Yeah,
tell us about
yeah.
it.
And we've actually done a little research on it, too, just to try to understand what are the key factors around driving accountability. But we refer to it as a culture of accountability, because in difficult times, more than ever, you need everybody bringing their A game. You need everybody being fully productive and making a full contribution, especially if you move to reduced hours or you start to decrease headcount as well. And what we found, and we surveyed 400 leaders across industries, and 40% of them reported that employees in their organizations are not being held accountable for results.
40%.
Yeah, we found that actually quite shocking. And
that is shocking.
Yeah, and it's a problem for a number of reasons, because if you're not getting full productivity, and you're trying to manage costs, plus you're trying to meet customer needs, it can create some significant problems.
How can you evaluate the work that has to be done to survive and to thrive against your payroll budget that you got to deal with if you don't have everybody being accountable? I mean,
you're,
it's basically an exercise in futility, isn't it?
Yeah, and interestingly enough, in our work with leaders, we find that almost everyone has somebody on their team who they're working around, who
yeah.
they're making some kind of an
yeah.
exception for, and who are not pulling their weight.
Wow. Hold on to that thought, Rick. We're going to take a quick break, folks. Rick Lepsinger is our guest. He's the co-author of Flexible Leadership, president of On Point Consulting. He and I will be right back after these messages. More wisdom from Rick Lepsinger right after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Did I say that twice? I do that sometimes. I get so excited about what I'm doing. I love this, folks. Sometimes I just get so excited. It's like New York, though. It's the name that's so nice it should be said twice, right? That's the story I'm sticking to. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Don't worry, I'm only going to say it once. But you can get a lot of stuff there if you want. You can check out my blog. You can check out my newsletter. You can go to my knowledge base from there, askjim.biz. You can listen to archives to your little heart's content. You can read articles to your little heart's content. Thousands of each one of those. Brain Trust members coming out of your ears. Lots and lots. It's a powerful resource there, folks. Okay, let me say it one more time. Smallbusinessadvocate.com. Rick Lepsinger is all over our website. He is the president of On Point Consulting, the co-author of Flexible Leadership. Let's say his co-author's name, Gary Uecker. And so he's here to talk to us. He's been talking to us about accountability, making sure that... it does. If you've got 10 employees and you need to cut one, and you wind up cutting one, but then you find out that you've got two others that the one you cut was the newbie, the newest person, so that makes sense, right? But then you find out you got two people who aren't pulling their weight, so you're still in the hole with regard to getting the job done, right, Rick?
Yeah, yeah, and it's interesting, you know, if you ask managers why they don't hold people accountable, you know, three reasons kind of pop up, and one of them is there's just lack of clarity on what you want people to do and the time frame you want them to do it. So it's virtually impossible to hold somebody accountable for something if you haven't been clear about the what and the when.
Right.
The other reason people don't, you know, are hesitant is people view it as confrontation. And they hesitate to have what they consider to be an argument or a fight about something. But if you were clear in the beginning, you have much less of a problem on that side. And the third main reason is people just go, it's just easier, I'll just do it myself. You know, the person might
right.
not be doing the job, I'll just dip in and do it myself. And in a small business or somebody who's head of a department in a larger company, that's actually quite common. You know, rather than hold them accountable for getting the work done and enabling them to do it, we just step in and say, I'll just do it myself. It's much easier. It's much faster. But you, unless you break that cycle, you'll always be doing it yourself.
Well, so, let's talk about some of the things we can do, specific things we can do to create accountability. You've got some examples.
Yeah, there are. There's things you can do on the front end to set people up for success, and there's things you can do on the back end to hold people accountable in the event that they still miss their commitment or their deadline. So on the front end, it's the ATC model, action, timing, and check-in. So the key is on the front end, be clear about expectations, be clear about what you want people to do. On the timing, be clear about when you want them to do it. Something like as soon as possible probably isn't going to work, because for you that's tomorrow, for them it's at the end of the week. And the last thing is the check-in, and this is where a lot of managers fall down, is because we're afraid of being seen as a micromanager. So we don't follow up and dip mm-hmm. in. We wait until the due date and discover that it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
And the way to get around that is to work out with the person when you will check in periodically, make it sort of a collaborative decision that we will check in every week, we'll check in at the end of the month, whatever it is, and that way you can be comfortable that you will have a check-in, you don't have to worry, is it going well, and you don't have to feel like you're imposing or just dipping in without, you know, without them being involved in that decision. So that on the front end really sets people up for success, and it also gives you an opportunity to monitor and coach along the way to increase the likelihood that they'll achieve the intended outcome.
So you think that one of the reasons why managers and owners don't hold the people more accountable is they don't want to seem to be overbearing, they don't want to seem to be micromanaging. Could it also be that they know that the people aren't going to do it perfectly the way they did it when they did it, you know, that perfectly, like, you know, I'm perfect but you're not, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Do you think it's because of that, and they just don't want to know how imperfect it actually is?
Yeah, and those two things I think go together, is because, you know, some managers hover because they want to make sure it's done their way, but
right.
rather than coach and clarify performance expectations and clarify what good looks like, they sort of hover and then just pick at it or poke at it, you know, rather mm-hmm. than make it a clear standard. So,
well, and see, I think also that, see, most small business owners have done all the jobs originally. They did it first before they had any employees. They did everything.
Right.
And so they got employees and they started delegating. But they realize that when they delegate, things aren't perfect the way when they do it. And so I think what we got to do is we got to say, okay, if I want to scale my business, if I'm going to grow this business, if I'm going to have any help so I can take a day off and a lunch hour, I've got to realize that everybody's not perfect like me, but the company will be okay.
Don't we have to say that, Rick? Yeah, I think the other thing that they have to get is that at some point they had to learn it too. They weren't
right.
perfect from day
right.
one, and somebody helped them learn and develop this competency or this skill, or they learned it from experience. And you have to give people time to learn too.
And we have to allow them to fail, don't we?
Yeah, well, because that's one of the key ways that you learn from your failures just
right.
as much as your successes.
You got to learn how to say, you got to allow them to fail, and then you got to learn how to say, what did we learn?
Yeah.
Hey, Rick, we need a website, please.
It's onpointconsultingllc.com.
onpointconsultingllc.com. Is that where can we find the book there too?
Yep, you'll find. I have three books up there, and I'm writing one on execution as well. So you'll see them all up.
We're looking forward to seeing that one. Hey, Rick, thanks for being here. Let's get you back again real soon.
My pleasure. I look forward to it.
Rick Lipsinger, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too after these messages with John Deaney. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.